With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Phase Zero, episode 10? Are we on 10, 11? I don't even know anymore. I'm just like, I lost count, and that's amazing. Really made it far enough to lose count of the episodes.
I haven't been canceled yet.
Yeah, that's good.
The ratings have been that we're the number one podcast called Phase Zero that airs on Friday in the world. So that you can't dispute that. I'm your host, Brandon Davis. I am joined today. Jim Viscardi is back.
Hey, yo.
We have, for the first time on the show, comicbook.com's Jenna Anderson.
Hello, I'm happy to be here.
Thank you for being here. Jenna, we like to start with an icebreaker for all of our newcomers to the show, so I have to put you on the spot here.
Oh boy, okay.
This is a fun question for you, just so the audience gets to know you a little bit. This is very important. Which Avenger, if you had to choose one, would you most like to watch Zack Snyder's Justice League with?
Oh.
That was not the end of the question that I expected at all. Unless that completely changes everything. Oh my gosh. Are we talking like OG Avenger or just like comic Avengers? Like any? Or
any MCU Avenger.
Okay. Gosh. I'm going to say, oh my gosh, I don't know. I feel like I'm being put on the spot. This is much more complicated than I had expected. My gut just says like either Thor or Captain Marvel, because I feel like they would just have fun with it. I feel like there would be alcohol involved. I don't know. That's kind of my instinct. So I feel like I, having loved the movie and having seen it and really enjoyed it, I feel like it'd be fun to watch them watch it. So I guess that's my answer.
Yeah, I feel like Thor would be the guy who talks during the movie and asks what's going on every 5 minutes.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I would tell you what, though. I'm watching the Snyder Cut with Rhodey. Rhodey
that's a good one.
Yeah.
I feel like Rhodey would be a good movie critic.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, we have a big show today. It is a very special Friday for the MCU. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier premiered today. The first episode, we're going to run through that. All spoilers in just a little bit. We're going to go through some of the big MCU news of the week. And if we have time at the end of the show, we may have to cut this out. I don't know if we're going to get time for it because I do have to go talk to the cast of Godzilla vs. Kong, which I'm excited for.
Oh, wow.
We're going to try to get some time. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Aza Gonzalez, hello. Skarsgård, how are you? All of them are such good-looking people. What the heck? But anyway, we're going to try to talk about Zack Snyder's Justice League towards the end of the show as well. So if anybody hasn't seen it, you'll be okay on the spoiler front to get out or press pause. But we do have another special guest that I want to introduce to the show. This is a kid who I've been watching his rise across social media. And I mean, he's going to take over the world one day. I know that he's going to. This kid has just taken off. He spreads positivity. He's a huge fan. He's got his own podcast with my friend Brad Lambert. He has his own brand that he's building. He's a TikTok star, and that's an understatement. He's
the
blowing
king
up
of superhero TikTok.
I'm telling you right now, if there is a crown, his neck is heavy from having to carry that thing around all the time. Everybody, please welcome to Phase Zero, my buddy Soups.
Soups.
Oh, the mic is muted.
Soups is muted.
I'm back. Welcome. Thank you for having me on. What a way to just enter the show, you know?
Of course, dude. Of course.
But yeah, those words were so sweet. Thank you guys so much. If you guys don't know me, my name is Soups. I'm just a content creator, just really just a fan on social media. And all I do is just talk about the things that light my soul on fire, which is anything related to superheroes and entertainment. So I'm excited. We got a ton of awesome things to talk about. So what a time to be alive. I'm ready to go.
Hell yeah, man. Dude, we have a lot in common on that front. So welcome to the show. Thanks for coming, dude. So we're going to start today's show with some MCU news before we dive into spoilers on the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I know everybody wants to talk about the spoilers. I promise you we will get to it. Just let's get through the news first. We got a Loki poster, which if this Loki poster came out as much as 3 weeks ago, I would have been looking at it and being like, what do all the circles mean? There's orange on his collar. Is that the Soul Stone? Oh, there's a clock. Does that mean that Kang the Conqueror is in the show. And now I'm just like, it's a poster. Stop staring at it. It's Tom Hiddleston. I mean, Jenna, I'm going to go to you. Did this poster do anything to bolster your excitement for the show?
I mean, I'm just already excited for Loki, so the poster didn't necessarily add to that in a huge way. But, like, I am surprised that there aren't fan theories about, like, each font in the title, because I remember when that title card came out and people were like, this is big, graphic design is my passion energy. Like, why are there so many different letterings? And so I'm surprised there's not, like, fan theories a la WandaVision for all of that. But, no, I'm excited for Loki. I'm excited to see, like, the response to Loki, given how popular he's been, especially on like Tumblr and that part of the Avengers fandom. Like, I'm very excited to see him kind of get his own show in that context. So, but the poster is just a poster at the end of the day.
Tell you what got me excited though. The banter between Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston during that Falcon and Winter Soldier live event thing that they did yesterday. That has me excited for Loki.
Wow. That's how I felt watching that.
Owen Wilson in the MCU, sign me up.
I know.
You know, my biggest takeaway from that poster was that if we really like look into like the detailing, like the K is obviously Mephisto, like the K in Loki. it's
and
Mephisto.
That's today's show, and that's today's show. Thanks for watching. We're out of here. I counted six hairs on his head. They were in a hexagonal
shape.
That's
what I'm saying.
I saw. Yeah, no, I'm done. We're moving on. I hate it here. Secret Invasion. Cast Kingsley Benadire as its main villain. And if you're like me, you saw Kingsley Ben and villain and thought Mandarin. I couldn't have been the only one. I could not. Somebody back me up here.
No, I initially, like, very quickly reading that headline was like, oh, whoa, that's interesting. What do we got here? Not to take anything away from what we got. But yes, immediately that I was like, whoa, okay. But again, there's, you know, now here's where I'm going to put my speculation hat on, right?
Oh,
because he's very clearly Super Skrull.
Like that, yeah, I was going to say Super Skrull.
That
right?
just has to be it.
I'm not thinking he's Skrull Queen, the Skrull Queen. I'm thinking he's probably Super Skrull.
Probably, yeah.
Hopefully.
I am honestly nervous about Secret Invasion. It's one of my favorite comic events. And I think that it's going to really kind of dial back the scale of the comic inevitably. There's no way they go as big as the comic on the Disney Plus show. That comic involved everybody. When I asked Kevin Feige about this, I think back before WandaVision came out, I think on a Phase Zero interview, he said he was just like, if it was as big as the comic, it'd be bigger than Endgame. We're not chasing that. This is a Samuel L. Jackson showcase. It's a Ben Mendelsohn showcase. I mean, that sounds really cool, and I think the show could be very exciting, but I think it's going to be, you're going to have to temper your expectations if you're anything like me, because I want it to be, I want to see Jessica Drew try to convince Tony Stark that he's a Skrull. I want to see all of these, like, all of the Avengers be unsure of who is a Skrull and who's not. So yeah. I also think maybe that kind of just leads us into Captain Marvel 2, depending on when Secret Invasion comes out, and we save the big Invasion story for the movies. I mean, what do you guys
think? I think that's the thing, right? Like, Secret Invasion, it may literally be what that show is, right? Like, it shows the infiltration of
Jim, I don't want to say anything, but on your hands, I just saw a Marvel sniper. what was that? Oh my gosh! I was like, does Jim know something? Is Jim saying too much?
He said too much.
No, I think this is literally going to be. I think this is going to be set up. This is going to be the infiltration. This is going to show us, everything and kind of set it up. Now, do I feel a little cheated that they're using the name Secret Invasion for this? Yeah, a little bit, because I think, you know, a lot of people have very fond memories of that event. For a lot of people, like, Civil War was a very big event for a lot of comic fans, definitely changed the game in a way that, you know, in comics that hadn't been done before. But I think Secret Invasion had so much mystery behind it and, like, literally, and I think took it to another level that a lot of the new fans that may have come in from Civil War and immediately jumped into Secret Invasion thinking that, like, oh crap, some of my favorite heroes may actually be Skrulls and are not real and haven't been here for the last 10 years is a big deal. And so to not have that, like, so, like, that's why I love the whole idea about Secret Invasion. That's where I think we're going to get a lot of setup, a lot of backstory, and then it inevitably becomes, I don't know what they call it, but, like, an event type movie down the line for sure.
Yeah, I Civil War didn't really replicate the comics too. I mean, like, in its essentials, yes, but it was very different from the comics, and also in scale. So, you know, they can change those things and they can still deliver. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see
what happens. Absolutely.
Well, and also, I would argue, like, I would rather have Secret Invasion be its own entity. Like, I, in hindsight, part of me would have wanted Civil War to just be an Avengers movie. Like, I would have wanted a proper third Captain America movie that wasn't just an adaptation of Civil War at the same time. So, like, part of me likes the fact that we're not just having Captain Marvel 2 be Secret Invasion. Like, we are treating Secret Invasion as its own thing. And if it bleeds into Captain Marvel 2, then that's cool. But it isn't just trying to, like, jam this entire event into her solo movie.
So. Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about the Disney Plus shows is that now Marvel can really just set things up and do some extra storytelling before we get to the movies. So now the movies can just be so much more epic than they were before, because now Marvel can do some extra storytelling building up to the movies. And I feel that Secret Invasion, what WandaVision is to Spider-Man No Way Home and Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, Secret Invasion will be that to Captain Marvel 2, and they'll definitely just lay the groundwork and lay the foundation for that movie with the Skrulls invading Earth, with Nick Fury and S.W.O.R.D., with the way WandaVision ended. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Monica Rambeau in that show. So it's awesome to see that now with Secret Invasion, they're just laying down the groundwork, hopefully, for us to see some bigger things go down in Captain Marvel 2.
I'm going to be completely honest. I will be a bit bummed out if we start seeing that these shows save all the big events for the movies. Like, I loved WandaVision as a whole, but it ultimately felt like, well, are they saving the big stuff for Doctor Strange? Mm-hmm. Like, Falcon and Winter Soldier were only one episode in, so who knows? But I mean, I think this first episode's very good, but I just kind of wonder, are they just going to give us are these going to end up being just kind of entertaining weekly ads for the movies?
I think that is a bitter pill you should try and force and swallow down now, because that's probably the inevitability, Brandon. I'm sorry.
But they're never going to kill off a major character on a Disney Plus show.
Oh, no, I don't know. I don't think that. I mean, they may do that. But I think the big question here is, right, like, knowing that Secret Invasion is in play, and this is going to be a question for the group, who is the first Marvel hero that you believe will be revealed to be a Skrull?
Oof, that's tough.
I'm not going to say hero, but part of me is like, can Hawkeye's entire family just be Skrulls? Like, can we just do that just so, like, you can... I like what they've eventually come to with Hawkeye, but I remember in Age of Ultron just being like, why are you giving him a family? Like, I kind of want the Matt Fraction Hawkeye that is just off on his own doing whatever. Like, if the family is in the Hawkeye show, that I'm totally fine with that, but I know there's been kind of a joking theory for years that's like, just let them all be Skrulls, just so he can kind of do his own thing. So
it's actually not a bad idea. Brandon, who do you think? Oh, you're still thinking. All right, Soup, we'll go to you. You look like you got someone on your mind.
I was going to say Rhodey.
Oh,
I think Rhodey would be an interesting one. You know,
Rhodey makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. He kind of inserted his ties in, like, the government.
Mm-hmm.
Did his things there, inserted himself in S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Avengers. And now he's just kind of chilling back, and we know he's going to get his own show with Armor Wars. But
I'm gonna go a little OG and a just big tie to Secret Invasion, the event. But, like, I think when you put the pieces together, it works. Hank Pym.
Hank Pym was a Skrull all along.
No, I don't think he's been a Skrull all along, but I think Hank Pym as a character theoretically has been around for a long time, and there are definitely gaps in that character's history where he could have easily been plucked out and replaced as a Skrull. So I'm putting money on Hank Pym.
I like that.
I think Hulk could end up being a Skrull.
Ooh.
He's just a big green. He was a Skrull the whole time.
partially because Soups took my answer, but also because listen, Hulk as a Skrull, if there's a Skrull that can make himself that big and gigantic and convincingly do it, I think that'd be really entertaining. And I mean, who is more dangerous as an enemy than an uncontrollable rage monster? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I like Hulk.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you, BD. Like, I really don't want, like, right after WandaVision, and after, I think we can all agree that WandaVision could have been way bigger in scale than what we actually got. And the show was amazing. The ending was amazing, but it could have been way bigger. So now going into Falcon and the Winter Soldier, this first episode was great, but I'm just kind of taking a back seat, and I'm just like, I'm just waiting to see how big Marvel is willing to go on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Because WandaVision could have been way bigger than what it was. So we're just kind of waiting to see how big they're willing to go. So, cause it could just be, these shows could just be, you know, teasers for the bigger events, which are the movies.
And I mean, I honestly think WandaVision may have suffered from like the COVID delays. I think there may have 1,000%. Been a bigger plan for the ending.
Yeah,
and I think they just do a really good job of not harping on that stuff. Like, if this was a Warner Brothers movie, I think everybody would be coming out and be like, we were going to bring in Doctor Strange, and we were going to introduce you to all these characters. Moon Knight was going to be there. We couldn't do it because of COVID. We had a way better ending. Josh Trank would be out here kind of being like, well, I had something else planned. Nah, I don't mean to shade Josh Trank. His story actually is pretty unbelievable. But you don't see that from Marvel. They don't kind of harp on what could have been. I think it's partially because they signed their life away on NDAs and they can't. So I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I think WandaVision may have had a bigger ending and they ended up kind of reducing it. And it worked. Like, I still love WandaVision.
1,000%.
But I do wonder, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier may have also suffered similarly because they had to pick up shooting after a delay. But we'll see. We're going to talk all about Falcon and Winter Soldier spoilers in just a minute here. Venom Let There Be Carnage is delayed from June to September 17th. Not really particularly devastated about that. I do want to see the movie, but if I had to pick one to get delayed between Black Widow and Venom, I'll push Venom back. Here's the thing. It was originally scheduled for June 25th. Black Widow is 7 weeks from now, May 7th. They're saying, who said this? Bob Chapek, I think, said Black Widow is going to be a last-minute decision.
Yeah.
I don't know how you market a multi-hundred-million-dollar movie at the last minute. I guess you don't really have to because it's Marvel and we'll just market it for you. So, I mean, listen, I got to go back to a theater this week to see Godzilla vs. Kong. We've had this conversation. Jamie, who has hosted the show with us before, is in LA where, you know, things aren't as shaping up as well as they are here in Nashville. Obviously getting better, not 100%. So people are more comfortable here to go to theaters versus California. It depends on where you are. It depends on who you live with. Who you are, you know, things like that. So hopefully Black Widow comes out on May 7th. I don't know. What do you got? You think they're going to push it back? You think they're going to decide Disney Plus?
I don't think they're going to go Disney Plus. It's going to be, again, like Bob said, like a very last second kind of thing. But they've already pumped out so much money into marketing the show. Like, we saw the final, we saw all of the trailers. We saw the final trailer. We saw all of the TV spots. So at this point, you know, when it comes to the fans, I feel like we're just at the point where, like, let's just watch it already. So I think they might go ahead and bite the bullet and release this just because theaters just started opening up in LA. Theaters are back in Cali, where it seems to be like the final state. That's like kind of just like on the back end because everything's opened up in Florida. Nashville, things are getting better. So I think they might bite the bullet and actually attempt to open up Black Widow in theaters.
Actually, I think the other thing that we're missing too, like the big market that also just opened up is New York. Mm-hmm. And so if the next couple of weeks go well in New York and, you know, some of the regulations start to ease back in California, there may be a chance. And here's the thing. Will Black Widow make anywhere near the money, even on a restricted theater basis? There's no way it's going to make as much money as it would if all theaters were fully open. And so there may be a hybrid model, right? Maybe it opens in theaters one weekend and then goes to premiere access the next weekend or in 2 weekends after. So that way you can still get that theater experience. You still, for people who are still uncomfortable, can still go see it with everyone else. Cause I think that's the thing, you're right. You run the risk of everyone's going to go see it in theaters and then it just becomes just a spoiler haven, right? Like everyone's going to be talking about it. So you're going to miss out on that, those fans who don't want to have the movie spoiled for them. And so you got to give them something too. So it'll be interesting to see how they do it. I think if anything, Disney has always gotten creative. And I think this is going to be another instance where they will also get creative. The one thing I do want to mention about Venom though, that getting pushed back has me really concerned because I have a feeling, much like what we saw with Falcon and Winter Soldier and some of these other movies like Eternals, we're going to get our first looks at Carnage and any of the other characters via Funko Pops, t-shirts, bad licensing art, et cetera. And that's the part of this move that upsets me, because I'm actually excited for Venom 2. I'm really curious to see what they do with Carnage and how that looks, and if they introduce some of the other symbiotes or whatever. But it'll be really interesting, and we're inevitably going to get spoiled by merchandise.
I will say, like, Venom moving, though, it does feel much more of a spookier movie, so having it closer to Halloween does make more sense to me. Like, I am kind of happy with the mood in that move in that regard, but, like, yeah, I am just dreading the inevitable, like, Carnage action figure that somehow spoils what he looks like. Like, that is just kind of an inevitability at this point. But, like, with Black Widow, I agree with Jim completely. Like, a hybrid release seems like it might be the best way to go, because I know I personally would be willing to pay $30 in the way that I haven't for Mulan or Raya to be able to just sit at home and watch Black Widow and feel the comfort of not having to go to a theater. So, but I know other people want to, and so I think offering the option for both might be the best way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with the hybrid release. I mean, I don't think you can force people out to theaters, and I don't think you can tell people, well, if you don't go, you're going to miss out. So I think I think by May 7th, things are going to look very different too. I think things are changing so quickly right now and getting better at a really great rate. Hopefully that continues. Like, obviously COVID cases are dropping pretty quickly, especially by comparison to a month ago. They're much lower. And then a month before that, much lower than that. So hopefully that continues. Hopefully vaccines and everybody continues to get healthy and safe. And maybe by May 7th, the conversation is just, it's obviously safe. I mean, in a nice world, but who knows?
Anyway, a lot can happen in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
A lot can happen in 4 weeks, and we have 7. So they're waiting till that last minute, which is probably the smartest play by them to just keep quiet and make the decision late. And finally, the last thing, new Master 69's identity has been revealed in a commercial for the Falcon and the Winter Soldier and Xbox. And I think maybe it was a GameStop commercial. GME to the moon. Let's go. The guy who works at GameStop told Anthony Mackie, I don't know if he was playing Sam Wilson or if he was playing Anthony Mackie in the commercial, but he said, by the way, my gamer tag is new Master 69. My cousin made it. So the mystery is resolved. On that note, we're going to take a quick break here, pay the bills and do all that stuff. And when we come back from about a 60-second break here, we will be talking full spoilers on the Falcon and the Winter Soldier premiere. Please stay tuned and follow our channel on Twitch now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's talk about the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Let's go. Ooh,
let's do it.
I'm ready. Is you ready? I'm ready, bro.
Let's start with some overall reaction. Soups, take us home here. What did you think of this first episode?
Dude, I loved it. First of all, the entire marketing for this show has been the relationship between these two people. I'm like losing my place.
Are they holding hands on your hat?
No, they're just walking side by side. That would have been very romantic.
I'm just going to say they're holding hands. I just want to pretend that they are. Yes. Yeah.
But the entire marketing for this show has been the dynamic between these two characters. And we got zero of that in this episode. But for me, that's shocking, because how could the episode have been this good and we got zero of the dynamic between Bucky and Sam? This episode started off fast. We're back to that classic MCU thriller, and that opening itself set the tone for the type of action we're going to see in this series. Then the rest of the episode just kind of gave us that spotlight on Bucky and Sam, not necessarily as Avengers, but as human beings, as regular people in this crazy MCU. So I love this episode from beginning to end, and I thought it did a great job in setting up the individual storylines for each character. Bucky with PTSD, Sam with the mantle of Captain America, and now moving forward, this is where the show really starts.
I want to point out a comment here from Dottie Layla. Why didn't BD get a promo box? I've been asking the same question all morning. Soup's got this big wooden Falcon and Winter Soldier box. I didn't, so I'm boycotting the show.
All right.
Look at this thing. Look at this box he's got. Look at that.
Edged in.
What do I have to do? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I mean, I am jealous, but I'm not that mad about it. Listen. So I respect the flex by Soups there. Listen, it's an interesting point that they were not in the episode together, Falcon and Winter Soldier. This was the Falcon or the Winter Soldier for the first episode, which is very interesting. But I'm not as high on the episode as you are, Soups. I liked it. I certainly, mm-hmm. I don't really have any gripes with it. It didn't kind of get me excited the same way it got you excited, I guess. I love that opening action sequence. I think Kari Skoglund did a fantastic job. We have an interview with her coming up in just a few minutes. I love the dive into Bucky's mental health. I think that's really fantastic. It makes me almost feel bad for being so mad at Bucky for killing the Starks, although I am still mad. And I think that Sam with his family is really cool, although I do have a hard time believing an Avenger can't get alone. Jenna, what did you think?
I want to hear what Jenna thinks, but I want to go back to that.
Loan talk and just business talk than I was expecting in this episode. It was like, all right, Friday morning, I'm learning some things about loans. This is good to go. I'm in the middle probably between where Soups and Brandon are. Captain America Winter Soldier is my all-time favorite MCU movie. That is the hill that I will die on for the rest of my life. And this captures the energy of that, but with more of a less dire feeling to it in this first episode. I love the character work that's going on there. The Bucky scenes were definitely that's the Bucky that I've been reading in fan fiction for a decade and I've been wanting to actually see in live action, but he's just been off to the side saying three lines a movie and that's it. But this kind of definitely got into the way that he is as his own person, and I really loved that. I think part of it for me, having already after seeing the Snyder cut and how much it just goes for everything, I was kind of like, this is really good, but I wanted to kind of I wanted it to do more. I wanted it to excite mm-hmm. me a little bit more, but I still did really enjoy it and I'm really excited to see where it goes next. It was just not as much as I was expecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the, I don't want to say it's the flaws of the structure. For me, the episode was a little uneven. I liked a lot. I like what it does to set up a lot of things, but it just felt like it was very uneven, especially opening with an action sequence like that.
Yeah.
That was probably one of the best action sequences in the MCU, period.
It was Falcon action easily.
It was so, yeah. So good. But then it really, you go from that, which is, okay, this is what I'm used to with the MCU, whatever, and it almost takes a complete right turn and goes, okay, but now here's the reality of this situation, right? It immediately takes you back and says, this is a post-blip era where things are not great. Things have not been good, right? They're still dealing with the fact that people have just shown up out of nowhere after being gone for 5 years. And I think it's interesting to see it play out on Falcon's side, right? It's the MCU to me can be at its best when it's the most grounded. And this very much grounds, that whole storyline very much grounds the MCU in that way. And then, one of the biggest things that everyone loved about WandaVision, right? Was the at the core of WandaVision story was, the story about Wanda and her grief and all that. And I love that we're also being able to play, not play, right? Because that's the right word, but experience almost the grief that Bucky Barnes and Falcon are going through. In they have lost their best friend, they have lost their mentor. They each have their own different baggage to carry, and that's the baggage that we're kind of experiencing in this gritty, through line of the MCU. And so I'm excited to see more, but just the way that this episode was kind of structured, because you had that action, and then it got very serious, and then you had some jokes here or there, and then it got, then it went a little, then Bucky's on a date, and you're like, okay, what's going on? And then you have, a few more jokes, and then it gets super serious again, and then you have that, in the split second of the very last split second of the episode, where you get that effing wink from John Walker, immediately makes him someone you hate so
I took that wink personal.
Yeah, I said that out loud this morning to my boyfriend. I was like, I love how this entire reveal at the end of the episode is just like, I don't trust that guy. That guy seems shady. No general audiences are not going to know anything about him. And it's just the way that they introduce him. It's just like, nah, there's just bad vibes here. I don't know how to feel. So I was just like, they did a very good job in that regard.
He honestly just looks like such a dork in that helmet. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't look like the
helmet Steve has always looked dorky. It's never looked good on anybody.
You stop. Steve Rogers looked great in that helmet.
No, it's always looked dorky.
It's never looked dorky. It just looks dorky on U.S. Agent.
Yeah, U.S. Agent looks like an oaf.
He looks like Carl Steve from Rogers. Oh.
Yeah, I've seen tweets of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you Jim Viscardi. Hey, comment section. Hashtag Jim Viscardi is over party.
There is only one helmet that Cap has worn that has looked good. And we talked about it before the show. It's from the Winter Soldier, where he's in his super soldier costume, where it's like the star and the flag lines mm-hmm. coming out to the side. That helmet, where it's also got the chin strap or whatever, that's the only helmet that looks good on Steve Rogers.
You shut your mouth. You shut your dirty mouth right now. Nothing can make Chris Evans look bad. You stop it.
That's true. Yeah.
You stop it. Chris Evans can wear any helmet he wants. Chris Evans, the only thing that can make Chris Evans look bad is a full face helmet for a motorcycle where you can't even see it. Jim Viscardi is over party. The comments, I've never seen the comments fly by so fast. Look what you did, Jim. You're not on next week's show. That's it, everybody. I'm making the decision now. Jim is out next week. Anyway, that was unexpected. We got to get back to our notes here. I want to point out that if this was an episode of WandaVision, we would all when that guy what was Falcon's friend, Sam's friend's name from the military who he was working with in this episode?
Torres.
When he was talking to Torres, when Torres said, "I heard you put Cap on a bunker on the moon," every single one of us would be red circle on the thumbnail, Magneto, other side of the moon, like moon days.
Inhumans coming to the MCU.
Inhumans,
finally happening.
Inhumans confirmed.
He said, "Cap on the moon." I said, "Not today." No, I can't.
We're not falling for anything this time around.
But speaking of Torres, can we talk about how low key, out of nowhere, they've introduced this character Torres, and now like it could very well be Joaquin Torres who inevitably becomes the Falcon. Like, out of all of the marketing, literally weeks of this stuff, we had he went totally under the radar. Here he is, almost the star, like one of the stars of the first episode, and now we're already excited for what he can possibly become.
I love that. I think that was such a great decision because it was so unexpected in a way that was really rewarding at the same time. Yeah. Yep.
He's obviously the new Mephisto.
Yo, I don't know about you guys. I'm sorry. When that guy got stepped, when he got bashed into the ground, he should have died. He should have died. That super soldier, he literally got pounded.
Thrown down onto the ground and stomped. You're not coming back from that. You're just not. I mean, woof.
He had like a bruise on his face when he was FaceTiming Sam. Like, dude, you wouldn't even be able to talk.
I know.
I did. I really loved having Rhodey in this episode. And I specifically loved the choice. This is actually something I talked with Kari about in the interview we're going to play in just a few minutes. I love how when Sam was talking about how some heroes are no longer with us, he was specifically talking about Cap. It showed Rhodey, and I don't think this was the intention, but to me it was like, Tony's also gone because Rhodey has been on that journey with us for so long at Tony's side. And it really just set in, these legacy characters are going to be – or these characters are going to be the legacy after what – Steve and Tony and Thor and Natasha all started. And we still have Thor. Who knows how long? I hope Chris Hemsworth stays with this forever so we never have to lose Thor. I can't take any more loss. But it's going to be very interesting to see how they have to build up these new characters and stuff. And I just like seeing Rhodey there. I also like the line where Rhodey said, "Allies are now enemies." Maybe I'm putting my WandaVision cap on, but I mean, is that a Scarlet Witch reference?
That's how I took it.
This is after WandaVision.
Yeah, I can see it. I saw it more as probably global politically, just because.
Yeah, the nature of the political angle immediately. Yep. Yeah.
But can we talk about though, like how every government organization in the MCU, like even the regular government organizations, are just like awful and shitty.
I mean, it's the real world. What do you mean?
It's just like holy moly. But I also thought it was weird in that scene with Rhodey. Or you've got all this Cap stuff, right? And then you've got the Hydra logo there, right?
I like, know.
It just seemed really weird and out of place. Like, I get it, right? You want to show, you know, the history there, but like, that's almost like just putting straight up Nazi propaganda in like a memorial to, you know, the state's biggest hero of all time. It just felt a little weird.
I know. I was weirded out by that. And then like the little Winter Soldier symbol that like only exists on Marvel's merch. And I'm just like, this does not exist in the universe in and of itself. Like, this is not how people would symbolize Winter Soldier as his own thing. And it was like, this is just so funny to just see this plastered all over the exhibit. And then, yeah, that and the Hydra of it all. I was like, this is so distracting. That was all I could focus on.
Yeah.
John Walker. Let's talk about John Walker, guys. I said he looks like a dork. People might not know who he is. From my perspective, this character, I think he's going to end up being kind of the butt of the show. Like he's going to be subjected to jokes. I think he's going to be kind of a gray area on whether he's good or bad. Like, I think he's just going to want to be Cap. I don't think he's going to be an outright villain. But yeah. I think he's going to kind of just be subjected to, he inherited the shield. He wants to keep the shield. And I think by the end of it, he might be like, you know what? Good call. This thing isn't mine. And when Sam finally is just like, give me it.
Yeah, I mean, John Walker is a very interesting character because of the fact that they've barely used him for the marketing of the show. I mean, how many times have we seen that one shot of him walking out onto the field? And that's pretty much all we've gotten of US Agent in terms of the marketing for the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. But when it comes to John Walker, man, because the show is diving so deep into PTSD, I think we're going to see more of this character fleshed out, and we're going to actually get to see more of him dealing with PTSD as a soldier, as an army veteran. And I think it'll lend itself very well to like Bucky's side plot and the way Bucky copes with all of that and his mental health, and maybe helping John cope with his own mental health and all of that stuff as they can kind of like sympathize with each other because they're both like army veterans. So I think we're going to get to see more of John Walker as a character, because now we just know him as like US Agent, the figure, Captain America, the next Captain America, hashtag not my cap. But
Falcon's not. Layla's in the comments calling him Walmart Cap.
So. Walmart Cap, yes.
Poor Wyatt Russell. He's going to have to deal with this for so long.
So long. His Instagram comments are all going to be hashtag not my cap, Walmart Cap. He's going to get posted, bro.
Oh, go on Wyatt's Instagram and comment hashtag Jim is over party.
Stop it.
No. But I do want to say with US Agent, though, like before we move on, like I wrote, not to plug my own stuff, but I did write a piece published yesterday. That was basically breaking down when US Agent was introduced. He kind of symbolized like a very specific turn in patriotism, just in popular culture, of like very much the Reagan era and this sense of like, oh, well, the old man that is Steve Rogers doesn't understand what it's like to be an American today. And so that's me reclaiming it. And so I don't necessarily know if John Walker is going to be full villain or full hero or some sort of gray area. But I think that kind of turning point that he represents is really, really interesting in today's context, like almost more so than since when they filmed the show. And so I am very curious to see what that means of like, you ostensibly have this man who is like, I'm entitled to the shield. Like he has his own trauma. He has his own justification for why he deserves the shield, but it's like this kind of white male entitlement that I think is going to be really interesting to explore through him, because it feels unbelievably relevant looking at where things are right now. So I'm honestly the most excited to see what they do with him, because I genuinely don't know where they're going to go.
Dottie commented, I ordered Cap from Wish and I got John Walker.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
But like, here's the thing, right? Like, you know, just like what we talked about in the last episode of WandaVision, right? Like, are we really going to be dealing with another kind of copycat villain here? Just as far as like power sets and all that, because like we still haven't even really touched on what the Flag Smashers are and the role that they're going to play, and so there's still and Zemo, we didn't even get Zemo at all Zemo. Here, and so there's still a lot to come, and I think this is I wasn't necessarily too hot on this first episode, but I'm still sold on the premise. I'm still excited for what things are to come, and I think we just got to be patient, man.
I want to talk about Bucky real quick before we wrap up. Sorry to cut you off, Soups.
No, you're good.
One thing I want to point out, I like how they had him sleeping on the floor. That's a nice touch, because if you remember, I think it was Winter Soldier when Steve talk about coming home from war, and they said the mattress feels like a marshmallow. You're just going to fall into it or be like, you're not going to be able to get out of it because it's too soft after going to war. And they had Bucky sleeping on the floor, dealing with his PTSD. So to Jenna's point, I really think that is going to be an emotional, important part of this show. And I really like that they had that moment in there. It's a subtle moment that like fans are going to notice and appreciate. The twist of him having killed his buddy's son.
Wild.
I loved the Winter Soldier flashback. I thought that action sequence was great. Great to see him burst through a wall and just be in brainwashed, remind us of the terror, like expose us really to the things he was forced to do. But that was emotional right there. I mean, Bucky just can't win for losing, you know?
Yeah, and that kind of leads into like one of the points. I was speaking with a friend, and she made this point from this episode. And in this episode, we individually focus on Sam and Bucky. And with Sam, his journey is finding himself to be worthy enough to be the next Captain America. Well, with Bucky, it's almost like he's finding himself worthy enough to just be a human and just be a regular person. Yeah. Like we see him on that date and he leaves because like it's almost like he feels like he's not even worthy to be in front of this girl having a regular conversation because he killed Yuri's son and he's done all of these horrendous things and now he's kind of coming to terms. So while Sam is trying to, you know, find himself to be worthy enough to be Cap, Bucky's trying to find himself to be worthy to just be a human and just be a regular person.
These comments have me laughing despite the very serious conversation we're having here. People are calling him Bucket Barnes. These comments are just
that's one of the greatest things I think about, you know, Bucky as a character. And that's one of the greatest things about this these shows, right? Like what we got with WandaVision is we got a full kind of exploration around the characters of Wanda and Vision and all that, and we're going to get that same kind of examination with both Falcon and Winter Soldier. And I think both of them have such interesting histories, and I think especially the way that those characters play off one another, right? Like they made a joke, I think during the press tour, basically that like if it wasn't for the scene of Cap kissing Sharon and the two of them having that moment in the back of the car, this show would not exist. And it's because of like those moments that we're going to get things like this. And so I'm really interested to see how, just because we saw how well the Marvel Studios dealt with the concept of grief, I'm very curious to see how they deal with concept of depression, especially on Bucky's side, and how they deal with race relations and whatever. But I think also too, like the thing that I want to mention, because I know we got to get to the interview and whatever, is
I think you've lost Brandon. I think you've just
I've totally lost Brandon.
These comments are killing
the chat, bro. It's the chat.
But also,
I'm listening to everyone.
How can I focus when people are dropping comments like the Wiener Soldier?
How is there no money for superheroes? How is that a thing?
I know.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fair question during the show. It was a fair question to ask, you know, how do the Avengers make money? I just think these comments are funny. I'm so sorry. Listen, if we don't get Alpine on this show, I'm boycotting. I already didn't get a box. I want to see Bucky's cat. The comments want to see the cat. I want to see the cat. I want to see a white little cat following Bucky around. That's what I want. That's what I want. I do want to tell a funny story. I've mentioned this on Twitter, and people have asked me to tell this story about when I met Sebastian Stan for the first time. Probably know what I'm talking about. I'm gonna finally tell the story, and then we're gonna toss it over to the interview, because I'm gonna have to run out of here. So the interview is how we're gonna end the show today. But I was at Wizard World in Philadelphia, I believe it was, and we were all staying at the same hotel. It was Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, Sebastian Stan, and Haley Atwell. And we all went down to the hotel. I wasn't with them. I happened to be at the same hotel bar. I say we all went. Yeah, Chris Evans texted me, said, come on, we're going to the bar. No, absolutely not. They don't know who I am. But so I went into it was late night. It was Saturday after a convention. We all had a few drinks. I was I wish I was at the table with the cool kids, but I was sitting by myself at the bar. And I went over to the bathroom, washing my hands. And I look up, washing my hands. In the mirror, I see Sebastian Stan standing next to me. And I was just like, and I, as if we were old friends, was just like, what's up, Seb?
Oh, my God. I can't believe you called him Seb.
as if we were like, as if we, our families were friends together. And I immediately saw the error in my ways. And I was like, I should have not approached, I should have not said anything to this man in the bathroom at all. And he just was like, he was very friendly. He was like, hey man. And, dried my hands off. He beat me to the door. He opened the door. What did I do? Tripped over his foot, fell out of the bathroom. So that's how my first encounter with the Winter Soldier went.
Wow.
And that's the story that haunts me about Sebastian Stan for the rest of my life. Fortunately, I think he forgot, because we did an interview for this show. You can find it on YouTube, on comicbook.com's YouTube channel. He was great. He didn't bring it up. I don't think he remembers.
Oh, wow. What a nice guy.
I could hardly be the first person to trip over his foot.
Bro, he's the Winter Soldier. He got his brain wiped.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Exactly.
So he didn't intimidate you with a glass of milk. Like, at least that. That scene in Winter Soldier just still stays with me.
Oh, yeah. That would have been, I might not even work here anymore. I might never have shown my face again. Falcon's not 100% he remembers. No, stop it. Stop it. I know the Winter Soldier said he remembers every one of them. Sebastian Stan does not. Okay. So listen, that's going to be today's show. I promised I would tell that story eventually. I finally told it. Listen, thank you for watching today's show. We're going to end it on our interview with the Falcon and the Winter Soldier director, Kari Skoglund, because I have to run out of here. If you want to talk about the Snyder Cut, I loved that movie. I know Jenna really liked that movie. Jim very much like that movie. Soups, I know you love that movie. So hit us up on social media. We'll talk more about it. I wish we could talk all day on here, but unfortunately, it's my fault. I have to cut us short today. So listen, Soups, dude, thank you for joining the show. How can we find you?
So you guys can find me on Instagram, _Soups_, on YouTube, Soups, on TikTok, Soups, and then on Twitter, @TheRealSoups. So thank you guys for having me on. It was an honor to come on here and talk with you guys. So yeah, I'm excited for the future of just superheroes and entertainment in general. And well, cheers to that.
Yes, sir. And as Jenna pointed out, you can find her awesome writing on comicbook.com. Jenna, how else can we find you?
Just search, hey, it's Jenna Lynn, basically anywhere, and you'll probably find me. So,
love it. Jim, anything you want to plug here?
Don't find me.
Don't find me. Jim is over.
Jim is over party. All right. If you have a question for the cast of Godzilla vs. Kong, send it my way right now. If you're listening to this in podcast form, you're already too late. Hit me up at Brandon Davis BD. And right now we're going to end Phase Zero with our interview, taking a look at The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, episode one, with director Kari Skoglund. She's awesome. If you enjoyed today's show, please tag your friends, spread the word. Let's build the audience and have some fun with it. We will see you next Friday for The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, episode two. I'm so excited to talk to you about this show. I got to see the first episode. It's a ton of fun. The opening action sequence, it is so cool. So I want to start there. You start on an epic sequence. Nobody's ever done Falcon action like this before in any of the many Marvel movies.
I'm thrilled. That's my goal, really, to take. We said from the beginning, we're going to take Falcon and the flight, and we're going to just make him fly like he's. We've never seen him do that before. So yes, that was really a goal.
Yes, you really. I caught like almost Iron Man vibes in the way that the shot was on his face and the interface. I caught Winter Soldier vibes in the gritty, highly choreographed stuff, but it was all kind of took parts of those but made it its own unique thing in the best way. I just want to hear, what was your inspiration for Falcon's both flight and on his feet action?
Well, in the case of the flight, I did a lot of studying of what's on the internet in terms of the various action groups that, jump out of planes or parachute, or the GoPro kind of world that is, I think, very experiential. So I wanted us to feel like we were with him, and so as compared to being looking at him, I wanted to feel like we were flying right lockstep with him, and that's what those cameras and that aesthetic has taught us. So we've evolved with understanding that that's what it is. So it's a particular aesthetic, though, and so it was tricky, to put that on all our guys jumping out of planes in squirrel suits and such. But we had an amazing team. In terms of all of the hand-to-hand combat or the on the ground, it was all to be as real as possible. So obviously everything's quite choreographed for safety reasons and such, and we push the envelope. But and we are dealing, with in some cases super soldiers, and in some cases, with Bucky of it and all that. But it was to be as real and grounded as possible. That was the goal. So scrappier, and it shouldn't feel should feel unexpected.
Yeah, oh, it does. It works so well. It was awesome. I am curious. My inner Marvel nerd saw Red Wing laser out part of the plane there, and my brain went, is that a Stark Tech reference? I have to ask, is that an intentional Stark Tech reference, or am I just looking too far into that?
No, you're looking too far into that. But I mean, it's not to say that Stark Tech isn't involved. It's just not particularly involved.
Right. Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
The world has blipped, right? So it's a new world.
That's true. We get an awesome look at Bucky's past as the Winter Soldier in a way we haven't seen before on that front, too. And it's really cool to see Bucky's mental health and the guilt that he's carrying become such an integral part of the show. I love the development we're seeing in Bucky. I want to hear about, you know, what are you going to do with the guilt and the mental health that he's carrying into the show after everything he's been through?
Well, I think one of the most important things to discuss about that is the consequences of his actions. So violence, we don't necessarily ever dig into consequences, right? We have the violent act, and then cinematically we tend to walk away and we forget that there's collateral damage. So he, in his guilt, is dealing with the knowledge that there's collateral damage. And so how do you deal with that? So we'll go on the ride with him, but that's very new, you know, for not only the MCU, but for cinema in general, because we tend to avoid that truth.
Yeah, yeah. I talked to the boys a few minutes ago, and Anthony actually admitted he's jealous of some of the action scenes that Sebastian gets to be a part of. Who, in your opinion, gets the cooler action moment throughout the show?
Oh, I don't know. That's a hard one. Anthony does some pretty awesome, I have to say, they're neck and neck for awesomeness.
I am curious because I'm sure you're getting questions like from people like me and people you're talking to all day. And a lot of the stuff we can ask tends to kind of build like hype or promises and expectations. And after going through WandaVision and watching how there was so much talk of actors coming in and stuff like that, have you guys like learned anything from watching the WandaVision press tour in terms of teasing cameos or surprises or anything like that?
I think what's great about MCU and certainly the Marvel of it, everyone is, it's unique in its own, it's got its own DNA. So they might learn from one for sure. They never try to replicate. It's always a new day, new deal. So I would say, everything has got its own little package. So they'll never try to repeat.
Yeah, perfect, perfect, love it. Rhodey, I love seeing Rhodey in the first episode. I'm a huge Iron Man fan. He started this all, seeing a connection to Iron Man like that it spoke to me. And I noticed when Sam said that Captain America is no longer here, the camera goes to Rhodey. And I'm curious, is that to kind of make us also feel the fact that this world has lost more than Cap? We've also lost Tony. What are we trying to convey to the audience in going to Rhodey in that moment?
Well, I think it was to say that the gravitas of the moment, and also I think Rhodey wants Sam perhaps to pick up the shield, and Sam is not necessarily going to. So somebody, the inference is somebody's going to have to. Can the world be without Captain America? Can there be that world? And that's the question we pose, and we go on that journey with Sam. So I think that was the intention there.
Can I ask, does Rhodey play any part going forward after the first episode?
Well, you know that if I told you, somebody would have to kill me. So
we don't want that. I see the laser. We don't want that. I also caught there was the line, allies are now enemies. Alliances are torn apart. In your opinion, you know this world very deeply. What is the state of the Avengers in this timeline that we're in right now?
Well, we're post-blip, right? So it means that the world has changed. So allies or enemies really is referencing more the border changes and the fact that the world pre-blip was one thing. And now as a result of half the population being gone, the world changed and reformed and people became friends of countries that were enemies, had to rely on each other. People had to rely on each other differently. Elitism probably went away. You know, it infers that the world changed, maybe even for the better, because people had to, not unlike the pandemic, we've all had to, you know, be cooperative. And then people blipped back, and a whole bunch of people wanted to go back the way it was. And is that a good thing? And so that's that conversation.
That's a very interesting. I'm very interested to see how you guys handle all that. That's going to be pretty cool. You also, I know we're bringing Sharon Carter into the show. We've seen her in the trailers. She's kicking ass. And it is so cool to have her back in such an action-packed degree. Tell me about bringing her back and crafting what kind of character she's going to be when she has sequences like that we've seen so far.
Oh, she's badass. She's really badass. It's all great. You know, she's been on the run, and she's got something to prove.
I love that. And so the show seems pretty contained so far. WandaVision was very contained, but I think this is going to be a bit of a globetrotter. We got to Switzerland in the first episode. I think we're going to Madripoor. Can you just talk to me at all about kind of how sprawling this show gets to be before it's over?
We jump around the world. So it's a real international thriller.